I bring it to remembrance to those times when we need them. Mostly, Lord, that you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Worship.
This morning, we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we're going to turn there down, and they'll be in the next session. But before we go to Romans chapter 8, because Romans chapter 8 is going to be about being the spirit-empowered life, we need to know what it means to have a spirit-empowered life. And there is absolutely no better example in all of the Bible than the life of Jesus Christ. That was a spirit-empowered life. One writer said that from the womb to the tomb to the throne, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ was consistently filled with the Holy Spirit. Those two were inseparable. The Holy Spirit was an inseparable part of life and ministry of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We think of his birth. You think of conception. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. And I'm going to read from verses 26 through 35. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying, and cast in her mind, what manner of salutation is this? And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him the glory of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. And Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be? I know a man, but a girl. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. You can tell that this was a preternatural event. This wasn't normal. This wasn't normal. There was something divine, something outside of what we understand nature to be. But the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. In other words, there is this hovering of the Spirit of God upon Mary. We've seen that before. The book of Genesis. The earth was formless and void, and the Spirit of the Lord. So this is something absolutely incredible. You can already see that the very conception of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit was there. Both Mary and Joseph were told of this preternatural event. And the Holy Spirit, and this is the Holy Spirit of the Immaculate Conception. The Holy Spirit was also a huge, an inseparable part of the very greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ from the boy to men. They were inseparable. The Holy Spirit was present every step of the way. Stay in the book of Luke and go to chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Look at verse 40. And the child grew and went in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. Now, some of your versions might not have spirit in verse 40, but we know that this was the work of the Holy Spirit because those key words, filled with wisdom, this came straight from the book of Isaiah. You see that that was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 11. If you look at Isaiah chapter 11, or you can just wait till answer and then you can read it. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. And there shall come forth a lad out of the son of Jesse, and a grandchild of Abraham, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of glory and of the fear. The Spirit was part of the growth of the Lord Jesus Christ since a child. And look at what happens in verses 49 and 50. And he said unto them, who is it that he sought me? Did you not know I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. So many happy apart from the power of the believers. So here we have the Holy Spirit in the conception of the Lord Jesus Christ, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so far, when you really think about it, there was something very similar to this whole situation. Think about your salvation and mine. When we were born again, we were immediately indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Your growth and my growth in the Lord Jesus Christ cannot possibly happen outside of the power of the Holy Spirit. Your power, not my power, but by the power of the Spirit of the Holy Spirit. That's how we grow. As a matter of fact, your born-again conception was also blessed with the Holy Ghost, because someone filled with the Holy Spirit, someone who prayerfully considered your soul, approached you with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, he communicated the gospel to you. The Holy Spirit touched your heart and you got saved. And now, the Holy Spirit is a very, very important part of your spiritual life. It is absolutely imperative. If we are going to be like Christ, we must do what Christ did. Inseparable with the Holy Spirit. There's a lot that we can learn from the Holy Spirit. So, remember. The Holy Spirit was also part of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ were inseparable. Go to Mark chapter 1, verse 9. I think you know where you're doing this. Look at the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. Baptism of the Lord. And in Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 12, we read this. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway, coming out of the water, he saw the heavens open, and the Spirit, like a dove, descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven, saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And immediately the Spirit dragged him to the mountains. So, at the baptism of John, the baptism was quite original. Because the writer is saying that they saw something that was like the dove. Now, contrary to popular opinion, we think that the Holy Spirit was a bird, and there's nothing wrong with having a nice dove and a picture of it somewhere in your house explaining the Holy Spirit. I get it. But that's not what it was. It wasn't in the likeness or in the form of God. In other words, in its beauty, in its majesty, and its coming down, in gentleness and its meekness, came upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like Mary. Just the way he unfolds. And we can see that now the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ are inseparable. Why did God record this in the scriptures? So that you can see, so that I can see, that apart from the Holy Spirit, Jesus did not function in this world. It was always him and the Spirit of the living God. That's important to understand. If we, you and I, are going to be like Christ. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 10 through 11, Book of Matthew, chapter 4. And you can turn to chapter, you can stay there in Matthew chapter 4, verse 10. I'm going to turn to Luke for a second, because there's something that I really want you to see before I turn over to Luke. And in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, it's just one verse, and it says, "And Jesus being, listen, filled with the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." The Lord Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit of God, was led to battle. He was led to the war zone. He is about to have a serious confrontation with the church's biggest enemy, the devil. And it was the Holy Spirit. I love Matthew chapter 4, verse 10, because in that chapter, in most of the chapters, when we look at the Holy Spirit at the time when Jesus Christ was contending with the enemy in that particular account, at one point or another, it just stops and the enemy just leaves. But Matthew chapter 4, verse 10 has it a different way. And it says, "Then Jesus said unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thy serve." Then the devil left. Why is it different in the book of Matthew? The book of Matthew portrays Jesus Christ as king. And the king did not just leave it without, the king dismissed him. The devil didn't just leave, he was told to get by the king. "This is done. We're finished here." I don't know who the devil thought he was going to convince. But it wasn't the abandonment. This man was different. Not only was he God in the flesh, but he had it all in the power of the Lord with him. If we're going to be like that, we need to understand that the same
divine person that was in Jesus Christ is in you. Not the next form of Him. Not any less of the Holy Spirit. Not a different Holy Spirit, because there is no different Holy Spirit. It's the same Holy Ghost in Christ that is in us. I know that He is, and He's greater than He is. If you're going to do ministry and you don't understand the necessity of being filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to fail. If you're going to do it in your own power, it's going to crash and burn. Oh, you can hold up for a little while, especially the younger you are, the stronger you are, the more you get out. But there's going to come a time you you will depend upon Him for truth. You will depend upon Him for grace. You will depend upon the Holy Spirit to be merciful as God has been merciful to you, to extend grace to others as God has extended to you, to be long suffering towards others as God was to you. Need the Holy Spirit. You cannot do these things in the flesh and that is
give us a school that didn't work.
The enemy was dismissed by the King, the Lord Jesus Christ. But why this battle? Why did Jesus Christ have to contend with the devil? He's Jesus. He's the King. He's the Son of God. It was clear in the birth of His conception that He was the Holy One. His birth was like any other birth. My birth wasn't like that. My birth was like that. About an animal that I was fired, she clearly gave up that. She didn't eat it. I don't believe it. It was something different. The reason Jesus Christ was led into battle in the beginning is for the enemy to understand. And for you, me, to understand the impeccability of Jesus Christ. There is no way, no how, that God manifested in the flesh can possibly sin. You mean there's something that God cannot do? Of course there is. It's going to be silly. God can't sin. He can't lie. He can't do all those things. Why? Because He's God. It will go against His divine nature. So when somebody tells you that, you know, can God make a rock so big that, you know, can't live, the answer is no. Are you kidding me? God will not do anything. Because God doesn't work. He will always, if you figure God out this way, and I say that very reverently, He will always work with His sort of truth. He will never work against that. Never. Never. And because Jesus Christ is impeccable, because He cannot sin, we can trust that that man, that one of the prophets, was the Messiah. He was the Holy One of God. He was without sin, therefore had the absolute right to die for your sin and for my sin. That is holy. How did He do it? How? In the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 4, verse 14, it says this, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of Isaiah, and Isaiah the prophet, and then Isaiah the prophet always prophesied about the Spirit within the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you look at Luke chapter 4, verse 14, we read this, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went on of them fame to all. After the battle, after the time of the moment, Jesus got to work. And He got to work how? It says it right here. In the Spirit. The Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ were inseparable. And if you're going to be like Christ, We need to be linked. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of the living God. In Luke chapter 4, verses 18 through 21, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." This is Jesus reading. Just opened up the book of Isaiah, and he started reading. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and covering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day this scripture is fulfilled in your sight." That's Isaiah 42, Isaiah 61. It was prophesied that the Messiah and the Holy Spirit were in his sight. Whether we like it, we too have been in sight with the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus made it clear to his critics as well who it was that empowered his works in Matthew chapter 12. And in Matthew chapter 12, verse 24, this is Jesus. "But when the Pharisees heard it," all the works that the Lord Jesus Christ was doing, "when the Pharisees heard it, they said, 'This fellow doth cast out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils.' And Jesus knew their hearts and said unto them, 'Every kingdom divided is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How do you know that Jesus is there? And by whom the earth shall be judged, therefore they shall be your judges. If I cast out devils by heaven, by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is coming to you, or else how can you be strong men's house and spoil the food, and thank you for being strong men, and then you will find the Spirit. You can't find strong men in your life, you need to be in heaven." And obviously then he goes on and talks about, "You guys want to talk about me? So we're begging you to forgive me. But we're not to be against the Holy Spirit." Serious. The Holy Spirit and Jesus were inseparable. It's important to understand all that. His disciples said the same thing. You go to Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Peter told them, "It is by the Holy Ghost that Jesus did what Jesus did." In Acts chapter 10, verse 38. That's important because Jesus confirmed that the power came from the Holy Spirit. The disciples said that his power came from the Holy Spirit. The prophet said that the Messiah would be empowered by the Holy Spirit. It is important to understand that not only that they are inseparable, but that you and I need to be inseparable with the Holy Spirit as well. Why is that? Jesus, when you look at the Old Testament, it was important, we read all that succession a little bit, that the nation of Israel appropriately and properly represent who God is. They were entrusted with the very nature of God to be able to manifest who God is around the world. They were God's children of God. You know what I mean? You're your father's son. You're your father's daughter. What do they mean? Of course, I'm your father's son. What they mean is that you're just like him. You, your characteristics, the way you talk, the way you do things, you remind me of your father. Somebody come to me and say, "Be Jesus." You can have it. Yeah. You are inseparable. the Holy Spirit. We'll touch on that in the next session. Romans chapter 8, verses 12 and 17, the Spirit. For you this morning, we thank you, Lord God, for that wonderful truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. We see it again and again and again and again in the Gospels. If we want to know Jesus, we really need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. He and the Spirit are inseparable. Help us, Lord God, to learn to do the same, that we would have more victories than losses in the world. We would not once again be in bondage to sin, but, Lord, to be servants of God, empowered and fueled. In Jesus' name, amen.